Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, Mr. Joe Spadoni, we had our John Gruden resignation talk. And do you want to get into any more of that? Because we do have a matchup against the Broncos. The Raiders and the Broncos are both 3-2. The Broncos starting out with 3-0 and then losing two straight to the Ravens and Steelers, two teams that the Raiders have already beat this year. But we did have a couple more updates and a couple more things happened since John Gruden's resignation. Do you want to speak on the press conferences that happened the day after we did our emergency podcast?
I think we said our piece on Gruden and his departure. We're moving on from that.
Right.
Kind of the aftermath now is what's going to be interesting these next few weeks. Obviously, special teams coach, now interim head coach, Rick Bisaccia. Bisaccia. He's a Paisan.
Remember, it's Rich.
Rich. Did I say Rick?
Sorry. Said Rick.
I didn't say. See, I'm already flubbing because I was thinking of Bisaccia. Rich. Yeah. Rick. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Makes sense. Gotcha, Bisaccia.
There you go. It was interesting. I actually love that guy's passion, man. That was pretty cool. If you watched his press conference and how much being a head coach means to him, talking about his dad.
Yeah.
And he got choked up a little bit. That was cool. So hoping this team rallies around him because he just seemed like a really nice guy. Obviously, he was close with Gruden, having been an assistant with him for so long. So obviously hard to compartmentalize his departure with now him becoming the head coach. But I think he did a really good job. Mayock, obviously – the key cut or quote, I should say, from Mayock was, "I'm not speaking for Mark Davis," and nor should he have to. Mark Davis should have been front and center. He should have been the first one to talk. Mark Davis should have been out there with his general manager and Mike Mayock. He wasn't. It was a weak move. He's been weak throughout this entire ordeal. His only comment was, "I have no comment. Talk to the NFL." All right. Which was weak. It's not that hard to just come out and say, we condemn John Gruden's statements, and we at the Raiders organization are all about inclusivity and racial equality. That's it, Mark. That's all we wanted, and you can't even say that.
Yeah.
So that's basically what we learned since our last pod, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Going to just say, hey, ask the NFL, like, how much more childish can you get? How much more childish can you get when you made this hire? And – like you mentioned, it's clear that he still wanted John Gruden despite any of those emails, and he just didn't want to say anything to the media because he didn't want to put himself in any hot water as much as he already is. It's bad for him. Like, this is already the start. Is depending on how this team goes and depending on how they play, Like it's Mayock, it's Bisaccia, it's Derek Carr, it's the three guys that spoke at that press conference, along with Waller and Max Crosby, both of those guys too. But man, Mark Davis, hey, you're in a town now where you got billionaires there. You're in a town where you got people who are richer than you are. They're not going to be afraid to buy the team from you, especially when things start to go downhill. Because one thing we didn't even talk about last week, Spadoni, is with Vegas, dude, it's a neutral site. Like, yeah. Playing home games, that's not a home game anymore.
No. Like, it's an attraction for people that just want to watch football. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be a Raider fan. If you just are a fan of football, I could be a Bills fan watching Raiders Ravens. Like, I'm going to go to that game because we're in Vegas and I'm getting drunk and I'm just going to walk down and go to a game. That's what it is.
I can't believe it turned into that, because I think one of the things that I'm sure it's the same for you, but one of the things that drew me to the Raiders and the reason why I'm a fan, everyone always asks, why are you a fan of the Raiders and the Giants, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, my parents weren't really big football fans, so I had my own team to pick. And the reason I became a Raiders fan is because I went to one game when I was 11 years old, and I loved it.
Yeah.
There was the passion. There was the energy, everything but the crowd. And now it's just all gone. I'm not used to it, Spado.
No, you're one of the few Raiders Giants fan. By the way, RIP to the Giants.
Yeah, well.
That was a tough loss. Tough L. I'm so sorry about that.
Yeah, as you could
see. Tongue-in-cheek there as a bitter A's fan. Tongue-in-cheek. I'm so sorry that you guys lost. So much heartbreak the last decade for that team. I mean,
I switched hats here now. It's no longer going to be wearing that.
I still see those pennants in the background. I see a Candlestick Park one up there too for the Niners. I don't know why that's up there. That's anyways, not it's not you. My dad's actually a Raiders and Giants fan, so you're one of the few too. My dad grew up in San Mateo, but I'm sure he was fair weather back in the 70s when the 49ers were junk and the Raiders were good. I'm sure he just hopped on that bandwagon. But yeah, it's the whole dynamic for Vegas right now. It's very odd. You saw last game with the Bears too. There was just a huge contingency of Bears fans. And I saw a lot of orange, lot of orange. But obviously I'm not there in the stadium, so I can't tell if it's 50-50, 60-40. I think most of the time it's been about 65-35, 70-30. So it's still a majority of Raiders fans, but you're going to get that 5, maybe 10% every game of just neutral, just I want to go see a football game in Vegas kind of thing. Yeah. But this game, it's the first game in Denver this season. Well, first game, only game in Denver, obviously. But they're playing earlier in the season, which is always good because Derek struggles in the cold there. It's the last 2 years they've played. I think the last games of the last two seasons have both been in Denver, if I'm not correct.
Yes.
They lost 2 years ago and won last year. So, yeah, it's good to get that early game in there because Derek does not play well in the cold weather. I don't know what to expect in this game because I feel like these two teams are so similar where we both felt like they were a little more mirages. They both started out 3-0. Obviously the Broncos didn't beat anyone, beat the Jets, the Jaguars and the Giants. So it's like,
And then lost to the two teams that the Raiders have already beaten.
Exactly. And so both are 3-2 right now. I don't have a strong feel for this game. Vegas doesn't either. It's just stayed at 3.5, I think, throughout the whole week. Broncos are favored. Correct. And I think that's right. Can go. I wouldn't be surprised if either won. And I think this is going to be a big story for the rest of the season, how they show up in this game. If they come out and win it, they still have a really good chance at making the playoffs. If they lose this game, though, then you're 3-3. Going to be probably tied for last in the division with the Chiefs, not feeling very confident. But maybe it's just me, Steven. And after this whole Gruden firing, I don't know if this is a terrible thing to say, but this is just how I'm feeling, so I'm going to say it. I'm not as emotionally invested if they lose because I would understand. I know they're still a very talented team, but if there was to be a toll taken on them where they just fall off a little bit because Gruden got fired and all this controversy that happened, I would understand. And I wouldn't be as mad as, let's say, Gruden was still the head coach and they lost this game. Does that make sense? I'm not as emotionally invested if they lose because I understand where they're coming from. And listen, I don't know if they're going to go in a rebuild. They may not. So it's going to be interesting where the season goes from here. But we got a game to talk about. Let's talk about it. I think the Raiders, this is a game they should win. I know they're going up against Teddy Bridgewater. He's an okay quarterback. I'd say he's around like a 20th best play. I think he hovers around that 18 to 20 range. He's better than Drew Lock. We'll say that.
Teddy Bridgewater is like just a serviceable starter that can be
serviceable really, is a good word. Yes.
Really a placeholder until you try and find your franchise guy. And the
he's a guy that's not going to turn the ball over. He's not Drew Lock. He's not Drew Lock.
Exactly. Exactly. And to give an update on the injury report so far, there's nobody besides Jerry Jeudy, who is still on IR, if I'm not mistaken. But there's nobody of note that may not play in this one. Right now, the only guy who's out is cornerback Mike Ford, but he's not even a starter because they got the first round pick out of Bama, Patrick Surtain, and that could be really interesting with him and Ruggs. And they also got Kyle Fuller from the Bears, Justin Simmons, and Kareem Jackson. They got a hell of a secondary, and they also run that 3-4 defense, and you can't forget about Von Miller and Purcell, who's a really good nose tackle, Mike Purcell. He's a big boy, 6'3", 328. And then, of course, former Raider Shelby Harris along that defensive line.
Shelby Harris, man.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a name I haven't heard. I feel like Obi-Wan. Now, that's a name I haven't heard in a long time. You know, he's been there for a while, but yeah.
But as of right now, they are, as far as defense goes, they have been one of the best in the NFL. They have currently only given up 15.2 points per game, which isn't a whole lot. But the past couple of games, the Ravens and the Steelers have pounced on them in the first half, and the offense just hasn't been able to come back. So what are you going to be looking for in this game? The one guy I want to pay attention to, though, Joe, and this is the guy that everybody's going to be paying attention to. This might be just the most obvious statement of all time, but I really want to see how Derek Carr goes. Really want to see how Derek Carr plays against this defense because, you know, out of anybody on that team, maybe it hit Darren Waller because of how much Gruden's impacted his life, but Derek Carr was next door neighbors with this dude. Like, I don't care how much of a professional you are, like, trying to stay focused, tunnel vision on just a specific matchup, it's almost impossible to do when something like that happened over the week.
No, totally. You're definitely right. And it's going to be interesting, the game plan. I think they're going to go more simplistic, probably. Greg Olson, obviously the offensive coordinator now.
Yeah.
I didn't know if you heard what he had to say. He said most it was Gruden calling the plays, and Gruden would occasionally ask for Olson's suggestions. So that was the whole dynamic with them calling plays. But now Olson, who's worked with Carr, obviously, his rookie year with Dennis Allen. He was the offensive coordinator. And with Tony Sperano, I think, even the interim, it was still Greg Olson, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So Carr knows him well. And Olson, I think, he's a guy that's grown, too. I'm sure he obviously worked with McVay and Goff. And obviously McVay still calls the plays there, too, in Los Angeles. But I'm sure that's been a good room for improvement for Olson, just having to work with a prolific offense and offensive mind like that. So it'll be interesting to see if maybe they go shotgun, not try to run the ball as much, try to air it out a little bit. Because I think that's the move still with this inexperienced offensive line. And it's interesting because the Steelers handled them pretty well for the most part, the Broncos. And that's a team with not a good offensive line either, and a very slow and a Ben Roethlisberger. And a Ben Roethlisberger who looked horrible, right? Yeah. I mean, he looked awful all year pretty much, and he lit them up. So it'll be very interesting to see if they take on the same approach the Raiders, that is, with spreading them out, taking deep shots with Ruggs, with Waller, getting him more involved earlier, obviously Renfro, the third down target. So I'm looking for them to just do a little more play action too. That's something we just didn't really see a lot with Gruden, because I think Gruden was a guy who just, if the run wasn't happening, he wouldn't go to the play action. But and he obviously didn't. He doesn't agree with the sentiment that you have to establish the run. He did agree with the sentiment that you have to establish the run instead of play action, which isn't the case. Numbers have shown that throughout the last few years with Pro Football Focus, all these different numbers. You do not need to establish the run to set up the play action. You don't.
No.
You don't need to do that. And if the run's not working early, which I don't feel like it's going to be, Josh Jacobs obviously practiced today. He should be good to go. He had an illness. I saw that. I don't think it's anything too serious, though, because he did practice. So if the run game's not there, air it out, man.
Yeah.
Get in a gunfight. Come on.
And one of the guys on the opposite side on the Raiders for their injury report, who hasn't participated all week at practice, and this dude went down with an injury in the last game. But that's Jonathan Hankins up the middle, who's always been a very good run-stopping defensive tackle, a guy who can just stuff the run and not let guys just, you know, run it down your gullet, really. So he's not going to be playing. He's looking doubtful. Quentin Jefferson didn't participate on Thursday, but he was limited today. He's questionable for the game. So those two up the middle are pretty crucial. But if they're getting Quentin Jefferson there, that's big.
That is big.
Number 77 has been really good this year.
Absolutely. When he got injured, it was scary. Like, oh, man, if we lose this guy for the year, he looks so good.
Oh, that's right. It was him that got injured in the game in this one against the Bears. That's my bad.
Yeah. Well, Quentin Jefferson, he got hurt early. I believe it was even the first – it might have been the first game against the Ravens, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, I think he got hurt early or later in that game. And then he came – yeah, and then it was concerning maybe they would lose him for the season. But he's back, which is huge. Not having Hankins, obviously, is a big deal. Just the run defense in general has just been porous. And when you lose a guy who's been the only positive making plays in the run game, it's definitely concerning with that. With the running backs, obviously, Melvin Gordon and their rookie, Williams, right?
Javonte Williams, man.
Williams, that guy.
He's a stud.
He's a fantasy stud, too. I mean, yeah. if you have him in fantasy, you're loving what he's the production he's has. So you would like to try to sell out for the run. But Teddy Bridgewater, like we said, is not Drew Lock in that he could check it down to his good targets. Noah Fant, Cortland Sutton. They have guys. Obviously, you mentioned Judy, who's on the IR right now. It's a big loss. But Sutton, guy looked great last week. I benched him in fantasy, and he burned me because he wasn't doing anything all year.
Of course.
And I benched him for Noah Fant, who, of course, did nothing that game. So what happens? But they got weapons, man. So even if you sell out to stop the run, they'll make you pay.
Yeah, and as we look at it right now, I don't know. When we look at that Ravens loss, they had – again, you had Drew Lock at quarterback, like we've mentioned the entire time with Teddy Bridgewater. So I don't even know if we want to pay attention to that game. All I do know is that the primary ball carrier for the Ravens was Latavius Murray.
Oh, Tatrain.
And he ran for 59 yards against this Broncos team. But then Najee Harris for the Steelers – ran for 122 yards. So this run defense can be vulnerable for the Broncos here, but really it's their pass defense that's the strength. So, I mean, I'd love it if it was just a straight to get into the straight passing game by Derek Carr, but if you're going to win this one, knowing how good they are in coverage, it's not like they turn the ball over a ton. It's not like they get a bunch of interceptions. They only have four on the year. And their turnover differential is at +2. They're just a well-balanced defense. And I mean, if there's going to be any game where Josh Jacobs needs to go off, it's going to be this one. But also last week, they showed they could be vulnerable in the pass game too. Chase Claypool, who was running wild against the Raiders Damon Arnett was getting into the
yikes.
Game.
Yeah.
It was just, hey, let's run a go route with Claypool. Let's see if he can beat him. And that's what happened last week, and they managed to scheme him open. So, you know, if I had to put emphasis on it, maybe I'd put an emphasis on trying to get the run going. But also, without Gruden there, if it's not working, then it's not working. Yeah. And I think Greg Olsen will understand that. And I think Gruden was a little stubborn these past few weeks, just trying to get it going when there was nothing there.
Another sneaky big move, not a big move, I should say, but they got depth is Marcus Mariota coming back. That's really big for short yardage situations. And I think something they've been lacking with these fourth down calls that Gruden's been doing.
Good call.
God, just some of the – if I have to see a fullback dive – or just a run up the gut on fourth and two, I'm going to lose my mind.
Yeah.
Just trust your quarterback to make a throw, first of all, or just don't just punt it or kick the field goal. That's it. If your running game is clearly struggling, don't use that struggling run. I'm I'm so happy he's gone, specifically because the fourth and shorts were driving me nuts, Steven. I think I texted you every single time and tweeted every single time. By the way, follow me on Twitter at @Spadoni_Joe. The short yardage situations drive me nuts. I'm going to have an aneurysm right now because I'm already freaking out about it. Sheesh. But I'm hoping Greg Olsen will have the wherewithal to trust his quarterback like Gruden did not in short yardage situations, or even bring in Marcus Mariota, do a little read option, because that's damn near going to be successful every single time. Let him, hey, let me get in the pistol. Oh, wait. Oh, no, don't. I'll pull it. No, I'll throw it. There's like three different options you have. Make the defense take the first move and then just chuck it or run with it. It's not that hard.
Sorry. So there's one that I really want to see, and I saw this in the Chiefs-Bills game, and it's something the Chiefs run. It's something they do with Tyreek Hill, which we've seen before, which we don't really see with Henry Ruggs too much. But if you see that the defender's playing zone in that situation, which I'm not really sure, to be honest, if the Broncos are a man versus a zone team. I'm not sure which one they run more. But if you see a guy who's shaded off of Ruggs, maybe 7-10 yards away, and he gives him that much cushion, and you're in a short yardage situation, just toss it to Ruggs. Just straight up throw a little screen to him. Boom. One step. Get to him and let him just run for a couple of yards and get a first down. We never see that.
If we stop running routes short of the line to gain on third downs, Jesus, how many times do I have to see Derek Carr throw it 3 yards to Hunter Renfrow when it's 3rd and 8 and nothing happens?
I know.
Like, can we just scheme some guys open that could actually get first downs for once, please?
Yes.
That's all I'm asking, Steven.
That game against the Bears was ugly.
Excruciating.
It was the ugliest game of the
season.
It was
a battle of ineptitude between Gruden and Nagy, to be honest. It was pretty bad. There was some awful play calling on both sides.
Yeah, a 20-9 score is never good. Carl threw for 206 yards, and Khalil Mack was just in his head the entire night. But the one thing I wonder, and this has just gone throughout the season, but this dude is making more annually than Josh Jacobs, and that's Kenyon Drake. Like, what's happened with him? I wonder who chose that guy. Did Mike Mayock or John Gruden have that guy come to their team? Because they clearly brought him over because they knew that they were going to use him in pass catching situations. And yet again, I see no receptions, no yards, and one target in this last game. Willie Sneed had more yards in this last one. Jalen Richard had more.
Man. It's interesting. That's going to be another one of the little layers that's going to come out these next few months. How much power did Gruden have? How much was it Mayock? Some of these draft picks, these free agent decisions.
Yes.
I'm going to be very interested to see what's going on here. Obviously, Mike Mayock now has complete control over the roster. It's all on him. So we'll see what's going on there going forward. But yeah, he needs to step up, man. I mean, Gruden said in the past they're just going to try to utilize him a lot more in the passing game. I haven't seen that. Mm. And when you pay that much for a running back, I mean, you expect him to run the ball a little bit, right? Yeah. I mean, he was the insurance policy for Josh Jacobs. Josh Jacobs didn't play a few games, and we just didn't see Kenyon Drake. So right now, it's looking like another bad free agent signing for the Raiders. What else is new?
So I do want to bring this guy up, and we haven't from the last game, but Bryan Edwards.
89.
The third round pick, who was a part of that trade with Khalil Mack. He was along with Josh Jacobs. Those were the guys you got in return for him. And he did not look good in that last game. He only caught two of his receptions of the six targets. And there was that clear drop that was had in the middle of the field.
Hit him in the worst place, Steven. The hands.
Which...
that's a Bob Spadoni original right there.
Oh my
probably
God.
Not original, probably took for someone else, but just the old saying, hits him in the worst place, the hands, for a wide receiver.
Yeah. But are we at the point where we're giving up on this guy, or where are we now with Edwards? Does he still have time to make up for what has not been some good play these past couple of weeks?
He's shown some flashes, which is good. Let's not forget, he's been part of really big wins for us too.
Yeah.
Like late in games, he has been a guy you can look to for big plays. I can't say for sure that he won us the games, but he was damn near close to winning just by a half a yard, beating the Ravens on a walk-off.
Yeah.
And that dime that Derek threw to him in overtime, against the Dolphins was huge. So he has helped us win some games. So I can't say he's been a complete bust, but it is alarming how much, or how little I should say, Derek looks to him, and how alarming he gets actually open. And when he does get open, he has the dropsies. I mean, you look at that Monday night game against the Chargers, or was it, last week in the end zone.
Yeah.
He dropped it. That was another drop. He had two big drops in that game, man. That's literally a bit. Could have been two touchdowns, if we're being honest. If he caught that and just took it all up the field, that could have been a bomb for a touchdown. And then the other one, he just dropped. So, yeah. I mean, if he can just make a couple plays in the first and second and third quarters, as opposed to just having to do it all in the fourth quarter and overtime, it'd be great. So I just don't think Derek trusts him at this point. I mean, you have to let your quarterback trust you to get open and make plays. And Derek's not trusting him because he's not giving him a reason to. I mean, if you drop balls, like, listen, man, I got Hunter Renfrow. He's going to catch everything I throw to him. I got Darren Waller. He's usually going to catch everything you throw to him. Now, last week, he had some drops too. But I have Darren Waller. I have Henry Ruggs. He's catching it when I throw it to him. So why am I going to go to you, you know?
Yeah. Yep. So what's the matchup you're looking forward to the most here? Because, like we've mentioned, that secondary for the Broncos is – very good. Kyle Fuller on one side, Patrick Surtain on the other, as we mentioned. And with the safeties, you got Kareem Jackson and Justin Simmons. Justin Simmons, one of the best young guys in the game. And one of their linebackers, Alexander Johnson, has been one of the best coverage guys in terms of linebackers in the league. He's actually ranked 9th, according to Pro Football Focus, and 1st in run defense. So who's the matchup for the Raiders on offense and a guy on defense that you're looking forward to the most?
Ooh, I hate to do it. I sound like a broken record at this point, but I'm going offensive line. Mm-hmm. Looking at Brandon Parker starting for right tackle again against future Hall of Famer Von Miller. That does not make me very confident.
Yeah.
Albeit the entire offensive line other than Colton Miller has not looked good. But I think a huge part, if you can just give Derek a couple of seconds here and there, just give an opportunity. And like you said, if we can establish a running game, a semblance of one, a couple yards here and there, just nothing, just not 1 yard or negative gains. If you can just get a couple here, a couple there, set up a short passing yardage situation for Derek on third down, I think that's huge. So I'm looking at the offensive line against the, obviously, the defensive front for the Broncos. But in particularly, I'm looking at Brandon Parker and Von Miller in those short passage and intermediate passing situations.
So I'm going to be actually looking at two guys here because you know who well, first off, Ruggs and Surtain is going to be the matchup for me, the player
on Roll Tide. Come on.
That I want to see. That I want. I love seeing two former teammates go at it. That's going to be a lot of fun, and more often than not.
Yeah, it sucks that Judy's hurt because there's just so many fun Bama players that's been on these championship teams last few years. You got Ruggs, Judy, Surtain, Jacobs, hell, Kenyon Drake. I mean, I don't think he played with – maybe he played with some of these. No, he's too old. But Kenyon Drake's there. Alex Leatherwood's there on the offensive line. Look at how many Bama players are in this game. It's crazy.
That just goes to show how good their teams are. But I'm also looking, though, on the other side of it, Noah Fant at tight end. I think Fant would, if you had to guess, I mean, through these last five games, I'd probably say he's the best tight end that they're going to face right now. Because,
and by the way, apologies to Cole Kmet, who we dragged last week saying he was a terrible pick for them. He did get a touchdown against us, so that was
that's just more proof that the Khalil
was in your face, Spadone, right there from Cole Kmet.
So, yeah, Cole Kmet really doesn't like Black Hole Sundays. I think it's safe to say that. But it's going to be also Gus Bradley and Pat Shurmur, how those two go at it, because Pat Shurmur's running the entire offense. And I want to see how the interior offensive line for the Broncos plays against the Raiders. And I want to see if they disguise their blitzes, what they're going to do, because their left tackle and their right tackle, their left tackle, Garrett Bowles, who's the first round pick out of Utah. He's a good player. And then they got Bobby Massey at the right side, who was a fourth rounder in 2012. So they got a veteran who knows what he's doing. But then up the middle, you got this guy, Dalton Risner, who is a second round pick from 2019. He's ranked 58th out of 71 in terms of guards in the NFL. Lloyd Cushenberry, who's ranked 22nd out of 35 in the NFL. And then you got this guy, Glasgow, Graham Glasgow, who is 54th ranked out of the 71 guards. So
is he from Scotland?
I don't know. My grandma's from there.
Oh, is she?
She is.
You're Scott? Okay, you got some Scott in you. All right.
Yeah, on my mom's
William
side.
William Willis. All right.
So those guys up the middle, if you're going to be looking at the weakness on their offense, it's that interior line. So I want to see what they can do there.
No, absolutely. That's a good point. And listen, the front's been keeping them in games these last two losses. I mean, Max Crosby and Yannick Ngakoue, these guys have been showing out. They've been getting to the quarterback. So
yeah,
that's another – if you can get to Teddy Bridgewater, he will make mistakes. That is something he will do. So if you pressure him – but also, he could run a little bit. I mean, he can get out there and move and pick up a first down with his legs too. So you got to be aware of that. No more dumb penalties, please. I'm tired of the roughing the passer calls. I'm tired of the hands to the face call, which, by the way, I hate the illegal hands to the face call.
I know.
It's just, it's one of the dumbest things in sports. I mean, almost always someone's hitting someone else's face mask or face. I mean, that's always happening. Like, that's just how it is. When two big linemen are going up against each other and pressing hands and doing sumo wrestler moves on each other, someone's going to hit in the face, all right? So can we stop it with the illegal hands to the face calls? I hate them. but I think this is a great opportunity for Max Crosby and Yannick Ngakoue to help out the secondary, get some pressure, maybe force a turnover here or there, maybe a strip sack fumble. I'm looking for two turnovers in this game, Steven. Two. Hopefully a fumble, strip sack fumble, and a pick. That's what I'm looking for from this defense.
All right. So now let's get to it. We got the Raiders and the Broncos. I actually got -4 right here, but also I'm using a completely different thing, so it could be off, but really that might have just happened.
Money coming in on the Broncos. Interesting.
Yeah, okay. So you got that. And right now the over-under is at 43. The point total for the Raiders is at 20.5, and the point total for the Broncos is at 23.5. So they're expecting Vegas is a 23-20 game. At least if you're turning over under, like that's what their baseline is. So what are you looking for in this one? What do you think the score? What's your score prediction here?
This is going to be a tough one. I think it'll be close. I think the Raiders are going to win one for the new skip, Bisaccia, my boy Richie Rich. I'm going under here. I don't know what the under is, but I'm pretty sure it'll be under the point total I'm about to give. I'm going 23-17. Raiders get a late field goal and they win.
That's the under. And I really like that score. I like that score. So you're going to be going over on the Raiders, then under on the Broncos.
Yeah.
I actually think the Raiders are going to be winning this one as well. You're getting good value at the money line. They're at +173 right now. So if you're going to have any money line underdog that you're betting on, I think the Raiders at the Broncos is a good one, but I'm also going to take the under too. I don't think it's going to be a high scoring game at all. I think it's going to be a little closer. I think that it's going to be, I think the Raiders are going to win outright. I think it's going to be a 20-17 game. Okay. Like that's what I'll be going with there. I'm terrible at score predictions, but look, I don't see them getting more than maybe a couple of touchdowns and a couple of field goals out of it. And I think the defense is going to get some stops on the Broncos. So, we're both on the side of the Raiders winning, I think, on this one. And we try to be fair and balanced on this one, on this program, right?
Of course, fair and balanced. That's what they call us.
I mean, what are we, like 1-1 so far? We only did two episodes predicting each one, and then we're...
Yeah, we had the Chargers winning, so that's a 1-0 for us. But we both had the Raiders beating the Bears. That's a loss, so we're both 1-1. I think I had the score flipped, though. Close. I think I had the Raiders winning last week 20-10 or 23-10, but it was 29, so... See, this will be a tough one, though. This is there's a lot riding on this game. My bet with Lucas was standing with the Raiders-Broncos win totals, who will win more. By the way, you think I should just split the difference with them? The Raiders lose this game, I feel like Broncos are absolutely finishing with more wins this season. But we'll leave that for another day.
I'd stay the course, man.
Okay.
I think with the Chiefs, though, like the Chargers have shown they're the class of the AFC West, and they're going up against the Giants this week. So that's
Chargers are winning the division.
Yeah.
I'm confident in saying that right now. They have the defense to do it. I don't see the Chiefs defense improving that much, that significantly over the rest of the season to where they're on the Chargers level, because the Chargers are on their level offensively and they're just a clear cut above them defensively. I don't see anyone else in this division challenging them for the spot. Raiders can obviously still make the playoffs as a wild card. Absolutely. No doubt about it. Broncos could too. Chiefs obviously are probably still the favorites for that. But it's a tough division, man. It's a tough division.
It is, and you can either be tied with the Chiefs in the bottom of the standings after this one because the Chiefs are going up against the Washington football team and Terry McLaurin didn't practice today. So I don't know.
You're sleeping on my boy Taylor Heinicke. Come on.
Dude, oh no, I'm a big Heinicke guy. Heinicke's the reason that they're even where they're at right now, which is a 2-3.
He's got Moxie.
Their defense has not been good. I like Heinicke a lot. Yeah. I saw him make a couple of throws on the run. I'm like, damn.
I liked him in that divisional playoff last year against, what was it, Brady. That was the closest game Brady had the whole postseason pretty much, was that game against Washington football team. So
there you go.
So you got our Washington football team segment for the year. There you
and
go.
That's our talk for the season. But look, man, this is a big game. It is. And playoffs aren't out of reach. And if you heard Mike Mayock in that presser, they're 3-2. And that's all they're thinking about right now. And they still feel like they got a shot. So, and if they get a win here, that just goes to show the heart of this team. It really does. Like,
no, it does.
What they've been through this past week, not a lot of teams have really, and you know what? I'm just going to say, there are no teams that have really been through what they've been through this past week, at least with their head coach.
It's weird, like too, because they're not a bad team. Like, right. I was talking this with Kyle Madsen, the producer of new show, obviously, Willard and Dibbs. I was about to say Steiniger Dibbs, formerly. Yeah. But with Willard and Dibbs, and obviously he's on Candlestick Chronicles, a bunch of other stuff. You can hear him on the weekends with you. But I was like, this is a – Raiders are a very, very unique team. Maybe the most interesting team in the league right now because they have a lot of good players and they can make the play. This is a playoff roster that just lost their head coach. Like, this isn't the Jacksonville Jaguars with Urban Meyer grinding up on people. Like, this is a legit roster and they can make the playoffs. If Bisaccia can lead this team and just right the ship and just keep everyone's heads levels, it's not shocking to me if they make it.
Right now, the Browns and the Patriots and the Steelers and the Broncos are all behind the Raiders in the AFC standings.
I saw if it ended today, the Raiders would be heading to Buffalo week one.
They would. They are
not feel great about that matchup, but they're in the playoffs right now.
So you got the Chargers, the Ravens, the Bills, the Titans, the Bengals, and then the Raiders. So, man, they need to get this win.
They need it. This would be a huge win. The difference between being 4-2 and 3-3 is huge.
It is.
Having that extra cushion, especially if you look at the soft part of their schedule coming up next, they got to have this. We got the Giants, then the Eagles.
You got the Eagles next week, and then you got the Giants, and then you go on to face the Chiefs, and then you're going to have the Bengals, then you're going to have the Cowboys on a short week. So these are the games you need to win here. These next 3 weeks are really
It's interesting, too, because, I mean, you started the season, it's like, oh, Bengals, that'll be easy. Bengals are a good team. Probably should have beaten the Packers. Cowboys, they look like second or third best team in the NFC. That defense. Are you talking about the Raiders defense looking great? That Cowboys defense is just as bad as the Raiders last year. Dan Quinn's doing wonders for him. So just goes to show you, man, just every year the schedule game, you can't just count this as a win, this is a win. You don't know what teams are going to look like. And it's going to be interesting, man. It's going to be interesting. Got to get this win, though, Steve. Got to get it.
Yeah, we're going to have – I mean, besides the Eagles, the Giants, pretty much anyone in the NFC East, because you're going to have the Cowboys, but you're going to have six playoff teams that you're going to be facing here going forward out of these next few games. So you got to stack up these wins now because those six playoff teams are going to be coming fast, and they're going to be coming – it's going to be scary. That gauntlet, November, not going to be a fun month.
It's going to be fast and furious.
And furious, baby. Speaking of which, random – You see Dwayne The Rock Johnson's a rapper now.
Oh, boy.
Speaking of the Kansas City Chiefs, Kansas City's own Tech N9ne came out with a new album.
Dick and Nina?
Tech and Nina. He's still doing it at like the age of 60.
Dude, and Dwayne
The Rock Johnson.
Is he 60? He's not 60 years old.
He's not
Stop.
60.
He's like his late 40s, maybe. Dude, early
he's
50s.
Damn near in his 50s, though.
Yeah,
he's
I was going to say, I was a huge Tech N9ne guy in high school, so that's fine with me. I like Tech and Nina. Strange music, baby.
He's 49 years old. Dude, I'm telling you, check it out. Check it out. I think it's called Face Off.
Okay. Shout out to Nicolas Cage, John Travolta Part 2.
Oh, my God. They mentioned that. They mentioned those two. No doubt.
Face Off is the original, man. The original Face Off is only a Face Off, as Steiny would say.
Oh, my gosh. It's the best. Love that one. All right. That's how we're going to end the podcast. Joe, for you, for me, Stephen Langford, this is Black Hole Sundays. Enjoy the weekend. Let's see the Broncos get this win. Or excuse me, let's see the Raiders.
Oh God. All right.
I might have just jinxed the entire thing here. All right. Oh, well, here we go. Let's end the podcast now. Ruined it.
Gone.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more, done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.